Well, a very good morning, y'all. You can tell I'm living in the South again for 20 plus years. Our God is so faithful. Our God is faithful. And this is session 4 of the Abraham series. And I just want to mention before we get too deep into this that I listen to teachings on locm.org podcast number 213. Receive the covenant blessings. Listen to part 1. Part 2 is to come. Put so much meat on the bones of what we're studying here with Abraham. I hope you will listen to it not once, but 6 times. If you really want to get something in your heart, hearing, learning comes on the 6th read or the 6th hearing. So you can go to Genesis 17 if you like. And we closed our last session with the greatness of the blood covenant that our loving, tender father El Shaddai made with Abraham 4,000 years ago, and it is something else. It is permanent. It is irrevocable. It requires something from both parties, number 4, and it affects future generations. And I always ask myself the why question when I'm looking at a benefit from God. Why do I want to know this? And why would I want to apply the covenant blessings? Because Proverbs 28:20, you don't have to turn there. But it says, and this is on my mirror. It's been on my mirror for like 3 years in my bathroom. A covenant man, a covenant woman shall abound with blessings. Well, folks, I want a lot of blessings. You know why? Because my head is in the right place, and the more I get blessed, the more I can bless other people. In so many ways, I can't even count the ways. So yes, I want to be under the waterfall of God's abundance, and I want to have plenty to give to everybody who thirsts. I want to share the wealth. And so far in this series, we have talked about the faith of Abraham, and rightly so, but guess who else is mentioned in Hebrews 11, which we call the Hall of Fame of Faith? Well, if you guessed Sarah, you guessed right. We're going to come back to her in Hebrews 11:11 at the end of this sharing, but it basically says that through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. We're going to finish up it right here, but we're going to start in Genesis 17. But folks, it takes 2 to tango. And Abram went on and had children after Sarah died. So it wasn't a problem of getting Sarah pregnant. It was a situation where she had been barren her whole life. And now at 99, when she's way past the normal childbearing age anyway, God is going to do a miracle in her womb. He is going to cause her to bear the promised seed, the promised heir, H-E-I-R. And in Genesis 17:15, you can see there that God blessed Sarah by changing her name from Sarai to Sarah. Sarah means noble woman. And in verse 16, the Lord promised Sarah would give Abraham the promised seed. Now, in verse 17, God blesses Ishmael too, but he's like, Ishmael's going to be a wild jackass is what Ishmael stands for, meaning the wild ass of a man. He was just going to have contention wherever he went. And obviously that's playing out on the world stage even as we speak. But in verse 19, let's look at God's promise, his word to Sarah. Because God said to Abraham, and God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed. That means absolutely, absolutely. And you shall call his name Isaac, which means laughter, joyful laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Have you ever had something that somebody gave you or God did for you that just caused you to laugh for joy? Well, that's what Isaac meant, because he was going to bring a boatload of blessings, covenant blessings, into the planet. Blessings that you and I are enjoying here today, even as I speak. And in verse 21, God said his covenant he would establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee this set time in the next year. Because after this, some other things took place. I mean, they went back to Egypt and some stuff went on with Sodom and Gomorrah. So it was about a year later that all this came to pass. And the thing is, once God speaks, whether it's the written word in the Bible, it's written in the Bible, or it's the Logos, which is a promise that God gives you in your prayer time, or you're just going about your day, and God just tells you, I want to do this for you. Again, I go back to that example of when God sent me to Israel, and I was sitting at my dining room table having some yogurt and granola when a voice spoke to me in June and said, I'm going to send you to Israel in December. And the day before, as I was getting everything ready to go, had already taken time off at work, a stranger came and knocked on my front door and had a ticket to the Jerusalem tour in his pocket. And that's how God works, because once God spoke that to me in that dining room, I was like a Texan on a pork chop. I did not let it go. I mean, yeah, I used to wonder, I would wonder, you know, how's he going to do this? I haven't even made the down payment, which was due 90 days ago, or if whatever it was, 60 days ago. And yet I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven and earth would fall to pieces before I wasn't on that plane to go to Jerusalem. And you know what that's called, friends? That's called faith. 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 You know, so many Christians wind themselves into a pretzel, thinking they've got to beg God or plead or whatever. Just, God, please do this. Or beg for things that we've already got. Dum, da, dum, dum. That doesn't work. You know why? Because God doesn't respond to begging. He doesn't respond to how big your problem is. He doesn't even respond to how big your need is. If he did that, there would be no problems in the world, right? Especially people with big problems. And then we get caught up in this kind of trap in our own mind. Am I believing big enough? Have I done anything wrong? Is God mad at me? Why would God help me when there are so many people on earth that need to be helped? I'm pretty sure Abraham wasn't wrestling with any of this stuff. Now, Jacob may have been. You have to go down a few chapters to find him. But Abraham, I think, was in pretty good stead with God. But I just want to address these mental attacks that come into our head when we are endeavoring to receive an answer to prayer. So these three are the ones that jumped out to me today, and maybe they'll help you. The first one is, am I believing big enough? Well, that's a moot point because you have the faith of Jesus Christ. You have the faith of Jesus Christ. You're already filled with the same faith it says in Ephesians that raised Christ from the dead. I mean, that's the power and the faith. You got it at the time of the new birth. All you have to do is use it. Tune in your receiver to, I already got it. I already have this. God has already done it. And then you're aligning your thoughts with God's plan. And your health, your wealth, your mental acuity, all the blessings that you need that come from God, it's amen and yay. They're yours. The second one is, have I done anything wrong? Is God mad at me? Look, first of all, the blessings of God are based on grace, or mercy most of the time, unmerited favor, and with or withholding merited judgment. They're not based on works. And I have come to this realization usually, and this hadn't happened to me in decades, I don't think. But when I used to think, if I'd done something wrong, you know, I'd be going back to my dad and screwing up and messing up and coming in late and doing things and I wasn't supposed to be doing in high school. And, you know, God's not like that. And what I realized was, if I think I've done something wrong and God's mad at me, that's actually a positive thing to think about, in that I don't want to go around feeling guilty. I want to change my behavior. I want to repent, ask God to forgive me and help me get my feet back like hinds feet. Get on the good foot, back on track with God. I call that getting in alignment and harmony. What does that mean? Well, folks, God never changes. God never changes. He's as constant as Stone Mountain, the biggest boulder in the world is sitting in Georgia, and it takes like, I don't even know, a couple hours to walk around it. The circumference is huge. I mean, if you've never seen it, it is one of the wonders of the world, by the way. That's God. He ain't going anyplace. We are the ones that go in and out of feeling like we're worthy to receive the blessings of God. Long, long time ago, I mean, I loved Star Trek, and I loved the transporter room. And I loved it when they'd go beep, you know, and it'd be boop, they'd pop up on the planet or whatever. Well, God's like that transporter beam. Beam me up, Scotty. Only God's beam never moves. God is constant. He never changes. He never changes his personality. He never says no to anything that's according to his word. So the only thing that changes is am I in fellowship? Look, you're always going to be a son or daughter of God. Why? Because you're born again of God's seed. You know, there may have been times my parents wished they could disown me, but I was the seed of Joe Yarbrough and nobody was changing that. That couldn't be changed. And thank God we can't mess that up. But again, going back to my folks, I mean, my fellowship with my mom and dad fluctuated tremendously according to my faith, my image of myself, what I was doing with my time. And the thing is, when we're all down on ourselves and we know we need to change and we keep putting it off, I'm telling you, it doesn't really put you back in that place to walk in faith or walk in signs, miracles, and wonders. We have to turn around, repent, turn around, and come back to Jesus and start doing it right. Whatever we know is the right thing in our heart to do. Amos 3:3 is tattooed on the eyelids of my heart. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? So the $64,000 question is always, God, what am I doing to keep myself from receiving the covenant blessings? Am I in agreement with you? Am I looking at your grace and abundance? And if we're not, guess what? It's your mind. You can what, class? Change it. Romans chapter 12, renew your mind. You don't have to think like that anymore. That part of you is dead. It's part of the old man. It's not, why do we keep trying to resurrect a corpse instead of walking in newness of life? I don't know. But it takes us a lifetime to figure this stuff out. I can't say why, but it does. So, and the third thing is, why would God do this for me when there's so many other needs on the planet? Well, that's just pure religion. But you wouldn't believe how many people have said this to me as a counselor and keeps them from getting their answers to God, from God. And what happens in those situations? I remind them that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all places at all times. He knows, and he's omniscient. He knows all things. They don't really question the omnipotence that he's all powerful, but they question those other two, that he's omnipresent everywhere at once and he's omniscient. You know what omniscient means? If there's 8 or 9 billion people on the planet, he knows what every single person's doing. Every single person, 24/7. Well, that's how he got to be God. He knows everything. He's the creator of all. And the only way we get answers to prayer is to do it with God in the place of honor, seated on his throne, exalted. The train of his robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled with his glory, Isaiah. But what we see in Abraham is them operating the pattern of cause and effect correctly. Correctly. They had challenges. They did stupid things that made them feel like, you know, what? They probably questioned why God was doing all this great stuff for them. And, you know, they tried to fix God's plan themselves with Ishmael, and that backfired on them royally. So they're going through a lot of the same mental machinations as they're exercising their faith and learning how to walk in trust towards God. Faith over fear. Faith over fear. This is cause and effect. And every place, there's a pattern in Genesis that every place where God spoke, and it's written down, it may not have happened instantly, but it happened over a period of time. Every place where God spoke and gave Abram a word or a vision, Abraham not only listened, but he obeyed in faith by trusting the God who had appeared unto him. And God blessed Abraham in multiple ways. I mean, to the point that when he was going to destroy Sodom, Abraham was bargaining with God to save it for Lot's sake. Didn't happen because there weren't even 10 righteous men left in that city. And, you know, as we get to the place where we're wrapping this up, we're going to start comparing all of these things and paralleling them to the new covenant. And I was thinking about how God had spoken to Abram so many times, and then he's promising that Sarah's going to bear the promised seed and all this really cool stuff. And then I just kind of got quiet. And I love the word cogitate. I thought deeply on this for a while. And I just basked in the reality that every time you or I speak in tongues in our private prayer life in a believer's meeting, it is the guarantee that we are covenant children. Shamalite sokara kameste ishe me wato, ivarate meshe me kola kasante. Every time I do that, I know it's God in Christ in me. John 17, chapter 17, where Jesus says he's in the Father, and the Father's in him, and they are in us. Oneness, unity of purpose. And honey, when we're living in that unity of purpose, the world is our oyster. We are going to walk forth in signs, miracles, and wonders, being a light on a hill. And guess who's going to get the glory? Our Father, who's in heaven. And there's about 7 divine principles that Sarah and Abraham embodied. And if we don't see them all this session, you know, there's going to be 5 or 6 sessions to this class. And these principles, these covenant principles that they embodied, are timeless truth, or values, a set of values derived from God's character. We don't pull these out of a hat. We learn these through God's character, by his actions towards mankind and by what he's written in the Bible, or what he tells us by logos, by revelation. And top of the list is God is love. Love never fails. Love thinks no evil. Love can't harm you. It can only do you good. It's only going to rejoice in the truth. Number 2, the presence of God. Look at how God made his presence known to Abram, this man who had come from a pagan city. He made his presence known over and over and over, rubbing in his presence by repetition, letting him know he was there for him. He would never leave him nor forsake him. Number 3, we saw that we have to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, because Ishmael was a bust. You know why so few people see miracles? Is because they think, people are in this religious rut that think miracles have to happen in an instant. If there's one thing we're seeing in this record of Abraham and Sarah, it is that sometimes God's miracle takes time. And you know when God will give it to us? Yes, when we continue to walk in faith, but when he knows it's the right time from his perspective. And you can ask him why when we get to the Bema, these time periods. But they're all from heaven, people. And so many times we give up because we don't get it yesterday, and we're going to get it like 3 days from now, but we quit, try to fix it ourselves, and it usually blows up in our face. So love, the presence of God, trust in the Lord, lean not to your own understanding. Verse 4, or point 4, definitely faith over fear. Definitely faith over fear. Do you think it was in faith or in fear they had Ishmael? Well, you know the answer. It was fear. Because we see it from the results. But remember, old cliche, fear not is used 365 times in the Bible, so we have one for every day. The fifth point we haven't really gotten to yet, but we'll probably do that the next session, which is the principle of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. And we're going to see that Abraham was a very generous man, and he understood tithes and offerings. Well, who taught him? The Lord God, on a personal basis. And that's going to be a really exciting segment. Point number six is thankfulness in everything, not for everything. You know, I went to the bathroom today at the bank. And a lot of times when I go in a bathroom, there's really no place to set my purse. You know, they don't have a hook on the door. I don't really want to put it on the floor. So I stuck it in the sink, which I often do. Well, unfortunately, this sink had one of those little things you wave your hand in front of to make the water run. And it was kind of down below the faucet. Well, guess what happened when I set my purse in there? Yeah, it filled up with 3 inches of water. And you know what? There was a time in my life where I would have just spit and chew and cussed and booed. And I was having such a blessed day. I was so filled with peace. And I knew that this was just, okay, so what? Well, yep, ruined a bunch of things in my pocketbook. Totally trashed my checks. Had to order new ones. Trashed a lot of things. Everything got wet. Some things I kept. A lot of things I threw away. Point being, I just was thankful. I was thankful I had a purse. I was thankful I was driving during a sunny day when we've been having all this rain just pouring down from heaven. And yeah, it took me a long time when I got home to take everything apart, you know, put stuff outside in the sun. And then when I was out there, I saw that an armadillo had dug into my backyard and left a 12 or 14 inch hole. And you know what? The old peg would have just flipped out over this stuff. I mean, I would have freaked out. I would have gotten mad. I would have let myself blow my top. No, I'm a child of God. I have my health. I have a relatively sound mind. Some people would disagree with that. That's okay. And people, my day is just beautiful. It's still a beautiful day. And that's why thankfulness is such a huge key in life. Let the peace of God rule, reign, have regnancy in your heart. You know, let the peace of God rule in your heart and be ye what? Thankful, thankful, thankful. Such a key to walking in fellowship, staying in that God beam where He can continue to bring good things into your life. And number seven is interesting because God pushed this up in my heart. One of the great principles from Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation is believing on the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who lived and suffered and died and shed His blood and rose again from the dead for you and for me, paid the price so we could be children of God by seed. Everybody who did it right in the Old Testament believed that a Messiah was coming. After the New Testament, we believe the Messiah has come, which He has. And these are great spiritual covenant principles. There's probably a better job for that word for that, Katina, in a legal document. But these are the things, point A, point B, point C, that, you know, brings together that everlasting covenant that requires participation on the side of both parties. Love, God's presence, trust, faith over fear, giving abundantly, thankfulness, and believing in Christ and God raising Him from the dead. When you're applying these principles, you will know that you've already got it. You will go to the throne room with your petition. Sit still. Imagine what it's going to feel like when that petition comes to pass. And it absolutely 100% will come to pass every single time. When you break down these principles, you realize that walking with God is not rocket science. It doesn't take a high IQ. But it is a choice. And it's because so many Christians today ignore these basic principles that they go before the throne begging, crying, pleading, instead of just walking up and say, "Father, I love you. I appreciate your goodness to me. I'm so thankful. And yes, I claim that this whatever, my child is healed," or I mean, I can't even tell you because there's a million different kinds of prayers people are going to pray. But if it doesn't run at cross purposes with God's word, you've already got it. You've already got it. You know, it's funny because when I got all that water in my purse, I picked it up out of the sink and I felt the bottom and it didn't feel wet. So I went to the doctor to get a B12 shot. And when I'm walking in there thinking, why is my purse so heavy? And then I get the shot and I walk in the bathroom. That's when I found out the other bathroom. That's when I found out I had 3 inches of water. Lordy, lordy, lordy. And look at people. That's just a simple thing that I just missed the boat. I mean, I just gapped. So God knows our human frailties. And when we get God's image of us, that's when we can laugh at these things and get back in the beam and get back on board and do the things that God has called us to do. And in chapter 21 in Genesis, in 21, verse 1, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said." Here's the promise coming to pass. "And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken." He had promised it, and he had spoken it. So that's when revelation is given twice, it's established. He had both promised it and spoken it. Now, how those were different, I don't know. You can go back and read it for yourself. Verse 2, "For," and you know it was established, "because Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age," in her old age, "at the set time which God had spoken unto him." Verse 3, "And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare," Sarah who was barren, "joyful laughter," Isaac. People wonder why I laugh when I teach. It's because I'm happy. I have joy. And that's okay with me because the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not a weakness. Being happy and full of joy and full of joie de vivre, that is a wonderful trait to have. And I'm so glad I'm one of the people that has it, because I can't, it's hard for me to be around people that are constantly complaining, constantly it looks like they're a cow that hasn't been milked for 4 weeks, or standing on their own udder. Folks, your vibe determines your tribe. And the people that I'm closest to, we all have our challenges and problems, but you know what we also have? We have the joy of the Lord, because I'm too old to mess around being super close to people that just want to whine and complain every day of their life. I love you, but I don't want to hang out with you. Verse 4, "And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded." There is Abraham again cutting the covenant. "And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born, and Sarah said, 'God has made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh for joy with me.'" Because here's this woman, you know, if you didn't have a male son or a child in that culture, you were considered cursed. And here she was showing the world she was blessed by God. Not only did she have a baby, but she had it at 90, for goodness sake. Because she says in verse 7, "And she said, 'Who on earth would have believed or said unto Abraham that Sarah should be given a child suck?'" You know, on the breast, she would nurse her child. "For I have borne him a son at his and her old age." So Sharon, you're going to like this one. Hebrews 11:11, if you want to turn there. Winding this up. "Through what, class? Faith. Faith. Also, Abraham had faith. Sarah had faith." Took two to make this tango. "Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was way past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Our God is faithful. Verse 12. Therefore there sprang out of her, out of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, a multitude. Remember when God took Abram out in the evening? He walked between the sacrifice, the lamp, the blood covenant, and he told him to look up in the sky and see the stars. Here it is in living color. So many as the stars of the sky, multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. So people, Sarah had learned from her husband and seen his example. She got inspired, and I'm sure the people that worked for Abraham got inspired. That God is faithful. El Shaddai was faithful. And she ended up in the Hebrews Hall of Fame. Yes, yes, yes. Dear ones, when we have a need in this life, and I don't care what it is, I pray continually. I'm asking God all day how to help me. When we have a need, the last thing we need to do is look at ourselves and see how we want to fix it. The first thing we need to do, and I don't care how big or small the need is look unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, fix our eyes on Jesus, and ask him, Lord, what do you think I should do? What is your solution to this? And then follow his lead, because that is faith. That is you and I getting in agreement with God's covenant messages. So we're always left with that burning question, do you believe? Do you trust God? Do you trust that he's faithful? Or that, like some past memory of some other person that hurt you, that he's going to leave you at your worst moment? He's going to leave you when things are down. People, that's when we need him the most. And that's why we're spending all this time in Abraham, because he is still the father of all who do one thing, all who believe, who genuinely trust and appreciate God's goodness. I go back to the beginning. Believing is not complicated. It is an act of the will. And that's where the battlefield is. I'm in the mind. And whatever we do throughout the day, our job is to learn how to live under the shelter of his wing, in the harmony of his will. And it takes a constant attitude adjustment, because if this was easy, everyone would do it. Oh, man. So, Abraham and Sarah, with their mind-blowing record of faith, left a pagan land, hung out as long as God told them to hang out, came down when God told them to come down, went where God told them to go, did what God showed them to do, tried to do it their way, oops, a little hiccup here, came back, got on the good foot, got it right the next time. All this was a foreshadowing of the greatness of obedience to God's word, so that we achieve the desired blessing. Today, you and I still receive blessings just like Abraham did when we count God faithful who has promised. We count him faithful, not our good works, not our thinking God's too busy, not our why would he do this for me? Because today, you and I, 4,000 years later, still receive the blessings from God just like Abraham did when we count him faithful who promised. And remember, faith is energized by love, believing that we are the apple of God's eye. We are the children of his heart. We are the family that scratches his good pleasure, and we are the royal seed, the children of El Shaddai. Our God is so faithful. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these amazing examples in the Bible so that we have these records in front of us to learn to walk by the Spirit and copy Abraham and Sarah's walk of faithfulness, to be inspired by their growth in strengthening and exercising their faith, so that we too can live under the covenant blessings in this day and time and hour. Teach us, Father, how to love you more and recognize your love for us at every occasion, because it still goes that we love you because you first loved us. So let us embrace and wrap our heart around your love that we might be energized in Jesus' name. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, Father. Amen, amen, amen.